Turn to 1 John. Last month, I introduced the fact that the term born again has been adopted by the secular society and community. They referred to Chrysler president Lee Iacocca many years ago now that he was the born-again executive, not referring to salvation, but that he had brought back Chrysler from what was near death as a company. And so it's been used frequently. When we think of it in a biblical context, we'd say it's been misused, but that's how the world is, and so there's no need to go to seed on that. The reason I have you in 1 John is so that we can see the marks of a born-again person. Sometimes you'll be involved with somebody who says that they are a Christian, but you're not, you know, quite sure because you don't know their background. You don't know some of the details of, you know, what they would believe. And so John gives us some marks of a person who's born again. Sometimes this needs to be used for personal evaluation. Sometimes an individual, wonders if they're saved or not. Now, certainly when the Spirit of the Lord has come in, there's the witness of His Spirit, and there is that assurance that He gives to us. But they're new, and so they wonder, was that real what I did? When I asked the Lord to forgive my sins, they know that praying doesn't save you, but they also know that praying is how we communicate with God. And so they wonder. So John, he has given us some evidences. The first one we looked at was in chapter 2 and verse 29. It's the mark of a spiritual conduct, a spiritual deportment. 1 John 2:29. If ye know that he is righteous, that's Jesus Christ, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You're going to see that phrase, born of him or born of God, in each of these scriptures. Now, it's very obvious here that he doeth righteousness. Now, that's not that a person does, you know, occasionally a righteous act. It's talking about the what characterizes a person. Everyone that is, I'm paraphrasing now. Everyone that is characterized by righteousness is born of him. An unsaved person can occasionally do righteous things, but they can't do it consistently. And when you look at their life and observe it, it's not characterized by righteousness. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't do anything wrong. He does everything the way he ought to do it. No, that wouldn't be consistent with the rest of Scripture, even that we'll see here in 1 John. The second thing we saw is a mark of spiritual desire. Chapter 3, verse 9. 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Oh, wow. Wow. Whosoever is born of God. And again, there you see that phrase. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Does that mean they're sinless? No, it doesn't. I'm going to deal with that. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, that's Jesus, his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now that's dealing with the new nature. When a person gets saved, they receive a new nature. They have their ordinary human nature. It's also referred to as the old nature. But when a person accepts Jesus Christ, they get what? New life. Part of that new life is a new nature, a new inward man regarding how they think, how they what they desire, and what they're prompted to live like and act like. And whosoever is born of God, that new nature cannot sin and will not sin, for his seed remaineth in him. That's the seed of the Spirit of God in us. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. You say, well, I'm not sure there. I believe it says he does not commit sin. I think that means that he is sinless. Well, you may believe that, but you're wrong. If you go back to chapter 1, okay, chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, that seems to contradict 3:9. That said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Here again, you've got to distinguish what it's speaking of with that old man and the new man. The new man, the new nature, cannot sin, will not sin, and prompts a man to righteous living. 2:29, his life is characterized by righteousness. And then he goes on. In chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's daily sins that we do. That's not talking about getting saved. It's talking about the daily sins. And believe me, you better believe that. Because if you don't believe that, you're going to drive yourself nuts. I'm serious. You're going to become a basket case, and you're going to become distorted in your Christian living and understanding. Because verse 10 of chapter 1 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. So what you've got to do is understand how these seemingly contradicting victory verses, how they fit together. And the understanding of what Paul teaches us regarding the old nature and the new nature is what helps us to be able to grasp that and understand it. Now listen, if you're not saved, that ought to be an encouragement to you. Because many times a person doesn't get saved because they think, I can't live it. I've seen other people and they're godly and they're good people and I can't be that. No, they can't either in the old nature. But they're living by the new nature. And that's why they are characterized by righteousness. And so you can go ahead and get saved because God is going to begin to work in you, and someday, down the road of time, people will look at you and think, wow, that's a good man. That's a godly woman. Yeah. But you weren't when you first got saved. Right. Well, when you first got saved, you struggled. Because some of those old things, you know, had to be. Now, remember the verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Now, that involves the teaching of the Bible on Christian growth. You know, that doesn't happen automatically. Now, the Kuntzes have a baby. The Asquiths have a baby. The Asquiths have a baby. The Asquiths have a baby. All the Asquiths have a baby. And so, now that baby has to grow, okay? And they're going to grow in their understanding. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do things wrong. okay? And they have to be, what is Dan and Jennifer going to do? They're going to teach her. They're going to instruct her. That's going to involve maybe some discipline, okay? And that discipline might involve some punishment. They're going to have to smack her hands, okay? And then after a while, they smack her butt. And as long as she's got a diaper on, doesn't matter. But they're going to have to do that. Why? Because they're training her. They're teaching her. Listen, that's what God does with us. Old things pass away, but it comes about by God's training us, developing us. And so, it's just like that sign I saw in a Lutheran church. It's still up there, and that is, nobody's too bad to be saved. But it takes time to grow. And so then the next thing we're going to look at here is the mark of spiritual disposition. I don't know why us preachers think, we alliterate. Everything's got to be a D. Spiritual deportment, spiritual desire, spiritual disposition. There's one of them coming along here. I couldn't think of a D that was adequate, so I changed it. All right, so the mark of spiritual disposition, chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. See, the disposition that you have. How are you? Well, according to 4:7, if you're saved, you're going to love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, let us love one another. Have you noticed there are some people that are easier to love than others? Uh-huh, sure, that happens. But now listen, you can love everyone. You can love everyone. You won't necessarily get along with everyone, but you can have toward that person, that individual, the kind of relationship. Now you notice I didn't say feelings? Because you can conjure up in yourself feelings, positive or negative. But the relationship you have with someone, they are your brother or sister in Christ. Now, just like they don't approve everything you say and do, you won't approve everything that somebody else says and does. My relationship with my wife, I love my wife. And we have a relationship, and it's not based on what she does and what I do, because there's times where I disappoint her, and I have to come to her and say I'm sorry for whatever. But we have a relationship. That's why we have love for each other, and that's an important thing, that people build a relationship with a person that they want to spend their life with, because that's what love is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, all right, now I'm getting a relationship with God by believing in him, comes about as a result of his love for me. And then I get the benefits of everlasting life. So the mark of spiritual disposition, chapter 4, verse 7, everyone that loveth is born of God. Now, you can see some people, they claim to be saved. They go to church regularly. They're involved in church. They serve in various capacities. And I mean, Josh, they're now listen, let me ask you something. Do you have Christ? Do you have Christianity? Or do you have churchianity? Mm-hmm. All some people have is a great relationship with the church, an organization, a group, okay? Like the Optimist Club is a group. And some people have a relationship with the Optimist Club and the people that are in it and what it does. And that's all that some people who claim to be Christian have. They have churchianity, not Christianity. And sacrificing love. Remember, I illustrated in some message recently, we entrusted the trustees to take care of replacing the carpet, entrusted them to take care of redoing the floor, and that might mean that I have to sacrifice my desire for red carpet. Now listen, I didn't want red carpet. Blue's my color. But you know, if somebody wanted red carpet, well, you, because of a love relationship, you go sacrifice that. Okay? This is the color that was picked. Well, I just can't live with it. Okay, then you might not qualify for having the love one another factor. You better check out. That's why the Apostle Paul says, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. You have a giving love. Sacrificing and giving, that can go together. We got special meetings coming up. We're going to take up youth week offerings from now until eternity. We're going to take up youth week offerings. Well, I don't know why we have to take two offerings every week. We could just do it once in a while. Well, you're right, we could, but we're not. It's been determined we're going to take them up every week. Well, I'm just not going to put in every week. And that's fine. Now, you got to, if your attitude is what I'm expressing, that's a rotten attitude, and that's not fine. But if you choose to not give every week, that's okay. Okay? You might just determine, I'm going to give once a month. Fine. So if you would put $15 in the offering each week, well, you take 4 times 15, that's what, 60? And you're gonna give 60 once a week. That's once a month. and if that's what you want to do, fine, do that. Do it that way. No one's forcing a person. But a mark of spiritual life is spiritual disposition, the attitude. Now let me say something to the parents, okay? When a child does wrong, do not say. Did you hear that? That's all capital letters. That's highlighted. When a child does wrong, do not say, God won't love you. Okay? God doesn't love you when you do wrong. Don't say that to a child. Because you're condemning yourself. You're saying God doesn't love me all the time. Well, you're bad. My wife caught me on that one decades ago. Don't say to a kid you're bad. You did a bad thing. There's a difference. The one will tear down a child's self-worth and self-esteem. You say, well, I don't believe that. That's that psychology stuff. Well, you can say you don't believe it, but it exists anyway.
That's right.
And you tell a child you're bad, over and over, you're bad, you're bad. Guess what? They're going to live bad because that's what you've created. Now, you did a bad thing. God doesn't want us to do bad things. Let's pray and ask him to forgive us. And, you deal with them. And so the mark of spiritual life and new birth is spiritual disposition. And then the next one in chapter 5, verse 1, a mark of spiritual discernment. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Now, there's the discernment. Jesus is not just a man born and raised, did a lot of nice things, but he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one that can bring atonement. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is what? Born of God. Do I have new birth? If I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and if I have a mark of a spiritual desire, and if I have a mark of spiritual deportment, in other words, each one of these things, they work together. You can't just pull one of them out and say, well, that's me. I do righteous things. Oh, wow, pat you on the back. Twice a week, you do something wonderful. But your life needs to be characterized by it. And so a mark of spiritual discernment, chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Boy, I'll tell you, religious television is a marvelous thing, a tool to get the gospel out. But I'll tell you, it has been so abused by so many. And so I'm trying to think now, and I don't know if I shared this before or if this is something I'm going to share. And that is some false teachers. Okay, and it involves, I think, one of the missionaries that we work with, false teachers, and they at this point are getting as much as $400 in order to pray for somebody for healing. Wow. Now, you know, I can't imagine giving $400 to someone. But, you know, I don't even give $400 to my doctor. They're false teachers, and you need to determine that by the word of God. There's no scriptural basis for such a practice. I'm looking forward to see if that's something coming up in something I'm gonna might be in prayer meeting. You know, I'm just not sure. I know I read that, and so I'll have to. I look forward to finding it. All right, now, the next one is the mark of a spiritual overcomer. We're still in chapter 5. Now we're going to look at verse 4. An evidence that a person is born again is that they are a spiritual overcomer. For whatsoever, 5:4, whatsoever is born of God. See that phrase again, born of God. Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Overcome the world. You know, the pressure and the stress that the world puts on us is hard, but I don't have to give in. Whether it's a co-worker, okay, whether it's something on television, whether it's something on the internet, okay, wherever it is, it might be a relative, a good cousin. We grew up together. We've had a great time, and he's gone a little, you know, he's not where he used to be. Now listen, you can be an overcomer. You don't have to yield and give in to what he is doing or she is doing. Because whatsoever, if you're born again, you'll overcome the world. The world won't overcome you. You will resist it. Now, you see, listen, as I've said before, this is not just even these six marks that I'm showing you from the book of John, even those six are combined with teachings of Peter, teachings of Paul, and they are strengthened by those teachings of the scripture. So this isn't just, well, okay, I can check off all six. That's wonderful. And it is. If that's the case, if you can check off all six, that all six of these things characterize your life, that's great. You should have an encouragement. But now Paul is going to enhance what these things are, what John says. And Peter, in what he writes, that also enhances the things that John says. And so you have a spiritual overcomer. And in verse 3, we're still in chapter 5, look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Okay. Being a spiritual overcomer means that I'm obeying the scriptures. Okay. And that the love of God that I claim to have is evidenced by I keep the commandments. Now, that's not just the Ten Commandments. It would include them, but it's not just them. What the teachings of God in the Bible is. And so when it comes to, I'm going to take a very obvious one, when it comes to alcohol, okay? If you were going to obey the commandments, we're not going to be sitting at a bar. We're not going to be, it grieves me when I'm at Walmart and I see the Bonner students coming out. Most of the time, you can spot a Bonner student, and when they're coming, they're carrying at minimal six packs. Most of them are carrying the big cubes. And I just think to myself, what is going to go on and what they're doing to their life. Now listen, if we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. We're not going to participate in those kind of things. Right now it has become so common to go to the casino. You remember the illustration, I'm sure, that I gave previously, how a friend of mine, as a matter of fact, I just stopped and visited this fella, and he said, "You're going to the casino." I said, "No." He said, and he knew me. So he said, "Oh, well, you don't have to go in the gambling part. You can just go to the part where you eat." Okay. Now listen, I have a testimony to protect. And if I go in that casino, I'm only going for the great prime rib at a cheap price. But I'd have to put a sign on my back and on my front. I'd have to wear it like a sandwich board hanging around my neck. Going for the prime rib. Because anybody that would see me going, they're going to right away assume, "Hey, look at that, Pastor Haynes going in. I wonder if he'll play the slots or what he's going to do." No, my testimony is worth more than a good prime rib.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I love good prime ribs. But you can buy them elsewhere. And you say, "Well, they're not as good." Well, that's all right. You aren't that delicate in either anyway. Just, take it where you can get it and not be sinning. And then even verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world?" Because you see in chapter 4, "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world." A born-again person overcometh the world. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now listen, that believing is not just a mental thing. It's not just something with a head. When you're believing that Jesus is the Son of God, now that's a life-changing belief. Many people, a great majority of people, particularly, for example, in our area, they know Jesus and they'd understand that, he was born on Christmas, he died on the cross. Many of them would have an understanding that he's the Son of God. But that doesn't make them saved.
No.
You know that. Didn't make you saved, did it? If you were saved, it didn't make you saved just knowing that. It's when you came into a individual, it's called personal, relationship with God by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. He is my God. He is my Savior. And then the last one is the mark of spiritual dominion, spiritual control. Chapter 5, verse 18. "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." There it is again. We don't sin. Why didn't he word that different? if he'd have worded that the way the new versions do, we wouldn't have had that problem. Well, we don't have that problem. We understand the scriptures. That's why Paul said we need to rightly divide the word of truth. And here again is this aspect of the new nature, the old nature, and we know that whosoever is born of God in that new nature they have will not sin. You know, you're saved and I'm saved and I know it. But there's times when I sin. Oh, it just says you don't sin. You don't sin as long as you live by the new nature. But when I yield to my old nature, my human nature, when I do what Roger Hain feels like doing, that's usually when I end up having to go to Pat and apologize. Okay? Because I want to do what I felt like doing. I want to think what I felt like thinking. Okay? I'm tired of being good. You say, oh my goodness, you wouldn't say it. No, I wouldn't say it. But yeah, okay. Now, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Do you see that? Keepeth. It's our responsibility to keep ourselves. Jude 20, okay? Just before Revelation, right after the John letters here, Jude 20 and 21. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, that's that growth factor that I talked about, ye building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves. And that's our responsibility, to keep ourselves. You go, oh, I thought God has to do it. God will enable you to do it, but if you don't want to do it, if you don't put forth any effort to do it, you think God's going to give you a free ticket to this thing? Indeed not. Just like your child, your children, they have to put forth some effort. You'll give them guidance. You'll give them everything that they need. You'll give them instruction. But if they don't do their part, just isn't going to happen. Breaks your heart. But that's what happens. Breaks God's heart when we don't do what he says. So he that is begotten of God, been born again, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. But when we yield to the old nature, do what the old nature wants, what the human nature wants, then the wicked one is touching us. Father in heaven, thank you for the great love and grace that you give to us. Pray that you would use these things that you've given us in John to help us to understand what it means to be born again. Evaluate ourselves.